see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokers Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
This is the least complimentary declaration of feelings ever. He's like, I really like you because we've spent some time together and I'm only human. Like, you get attached when you spend time with a person. Could have been someone else, but you were the one that I was spending time with. So that's how it goes. And this is when he says, I like you a lot and I want you here. And he gives her the full up and down. With his
licking
eyes.
Licking the lips and everything.
He licks his lips.
Yeah.
And I was like, Matt, she just dumped you. Like.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Here to Make Friends. Today is going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, we didn't even have the heart to try to do like a cute intro today. It's just been a hell of a week. Before we recap the episode, we need to discuss some of what's been going on off screen in Bachelor Nation.
Yeah, look, y'all, we're fucking tired. But luckily, here to join us to slog through the muck and for the recap, which I think will be more fun. We have the amazing comedian, author, podcaster, producer, Phoebe. I don't even know like how to list all of your many talents. Phoebe Robinson and her wonderful boyfriend, British Bake Off, as we will call him. That is his internet name, and we will respect that. Both of you guys, we are so glad to have you here. This is just a delight, even if we can't be, you know, in the same room.
Yeah, I'm happy to. It's been what? Did I last do the podcast for Rachel's season?
It was for our show. I think the live show probably was the last one.
Yes. Oh, yeah. My gosh. That was so fun. Yeah.
It feels like another life, but it was, in fact, not that long ago.
That was so fun. We were all in the same space.
I know. You know, we take air together
on the subway. I can't believe we were on the trifling ass subway this entire time of our lives.
I know. And I was just talking to Phoebe about this before we started recording. But like, we went to dinner like mere weeks before lockdown, but like didn't understand anything about how COVID worked. So I remember you were like, yeah, my boyfriend was like, I guess we should go to Trader Joe's and stock up. And like, and then we were like, yeah, let's like wash our hands. But we were still in a restaurant that had like zero ventilation. And we were like, yeah, this is fine. Just wash your hands. Like, who cares about the air? We knew nothing. But here we are a year later.
You're like, at least we can still share aerosols in this difficult time. Yeah. They'll never take aerosols from us. So much for that. But this moment in Bachelor World has been just a really, really fucked up one. Like, this was supposed to be, in a way, like the Bachelor's attempt to finally take a step that had been withheld for so long. Perhaps partially in response to the Black Lives Matter protests of 2020, they announced the first Black Bachelor, Matt James. The season is not over, and it's completely spiraled into a huge controversy about racism. on the show, featuring one of the front runners, Rachel Kirkconnell, and the host, Chris Harrison. So two pretty key players. And we just have to dig in a little bit to what happened since we last taped.
Yeah. So just to kind of like set the stage, I think most people listening to this podcast probably know the bones of what's been going on. But just to recap, like Chris Harrison went on Extra for an interview with Rachel Lindsay and ended up going on a full-chested 15-minute rant defending the racist actions of Rachel Kirkconnell, but also seemingly like himself. He really, really told on himself during this interview. It was extremely telling of his, you know, real feelings on racial equity, among other things. And it was very upsetting and set off, you know, for good reason, like a pretty big firestorm within the community. And we wrote a piece about his interview last week, which we've shared on social media. But let's kind of go through a little bit and unpack the kind of key points that were deeply hurtful and offensive about the way that Chris spoke to Rachel, because there was, and Rachel Lindsay, there was a lot going on.
I don't know why. I'm just like not surprised. I'm sort of like, yeah, the show has been on for 20 years and they just had their first Black Bachelor because George Floyd was killed. It's just like, it was so nonsensical to start. And then like, you know, that first episode with Matt talking about how he feels pressured to basically end up with a Black woman. I was like, oh, I already know what this is about. Like for me, I was like, I'm going to compartmentalize. I'm still going to be here for Bachelor Nation. Like how like funny and absurd this show can be. But I was like, racially, there's like so much to unpack and so much has already been ignorant for decades that to me, I was just sort of like, yeah, are we surprised that this was going to be Chris's take? Like to me, like nothing about this surprised me. So I just sort of was like, yep, this all tracks. This is business as usual, you know?
Yeah. And I think that we too weren't surprised. I mean, honestly, we went back and when we were like baby podcasters, we, you know, when ABC was still allowing us to interview people, they didn't know who we were yet. We did interview Chris Harrison a couple times and pushed him on a couple things about like very basic things about racial equity, about gender equity and the show. And every time we interviewed him, we did not get a good feeling. Let's just put it that way. It was very clear. It's very clear if you listen to basically anything that Chris has said on any of these subjects that he doesn't give a shit. As you said, Phoebe, like the show doesn't give a shit. That's built into its bones. And I think what was striking about this interview was not that it was surprising in any way, but it was like surprising that this media trained dude was so brazen to tell on himself in a very overt way for the first time.
Yeah. To me, I'm like, I'd rather him do that and like just say how he feels and what he thinks as opposed to sort of not say anything or like saying the quote unquote right things and then the actions aren't backing it up. So I was like, great. At least everyone can know for sure. Even though we all have suspicions, we all know for sure. Great. We know what you're about. You're going to go away and then you're going to come back for this redemptive arc. Like nothing's going to change. Like, you know what I mean? It's all so scripted. Like it's the same narrative we're getting over and over and over. And I'm just like, listen, the show is what it is. The show is inherently racially ignorant and insensitive and problematic for a lot of ways. But, you know, the entertainment part of it, I can still sort of, you know, rock with it because I like making fun of manufactured drama, but like no one should be like surprised that this is what has always been at the root of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette franchises and everything.
Yeah, I think almost the only thing that was really different here is that Rachel let him keep talking. You know, we've seen Chris in the past hint at some of these sentiments. But he's never perhaps had quite this kind of interview with someone like Rachel, who was going to let him talk and then was going to say, you know, the way that he talked to me was not okay. Like, he was using some rhetorical moves that I think can sometimes be unfortunately effective for a white man who's been given some gravitas. You know, he would say, Rachel, you and I can have these conversations because there's a respect and we can be honest with each other. So he's kind of lending himself her credibility on this issue. He's saying, like, Rachel's okay with me talking like this. This is just how we're honest with each other. We know that Rachel did not feel that way, but in the moment, you know, he was trying to take that from her and kind of drape it over himself. And you can see tactics like that sometimes work, you know, when you have the audacity to use them. He was saying, you know, we need to give Rachel Kirkconnell grace because 2018 was a different era. You know, Rachel would say, oh, going to an antebellum plantation party is not a good look. And he would say, oh, is it not a good look in 2018? Or is it not a good look in 2021? You know, in 2018, it was different.
Sir.
We're still in that era. It's not like 30 years ago. It's like last week.
Yeah. Also the audacity when, like, your own show was literally embroiled in discussions of racial harm during that time. This was after, you know, they cast Lee on Rachel Lindsay's season.
Yeah.
This is after they had, or the same year they cast Garrett on Becca Kufrin's season. Like, these were literally the conversations that we were having and that their own contestants were being forced to address publicly. Like, it was after Trump. It was after the Unite the Right rally. I mean, my God, like, we're saying the obvious, but again, I think it speaks to, it's like, live your life like a mediocre white man. Like, that confidence to just be like, 2018, a different era. Who could have thought that the Confederacy was bad?
Yeah.
Who could have known?
Yeah, he's like, 50 million people went to these parties. Oh, yeah,
he also was making up, like, statistics and, like, stretching out years that, like, didn't exist.
Yeah. So, British Bake Off, as a white guy representative...
Yes, I'm here representing us all.
Yes,
and my soulmate. What do you have to make of all? Because he's new to Bachelor Nation. He got into Bachelor Nation.
I'm very new.
Because of me.
I'm so sorry.
He was trying to resist at first, but then he'd be like, "Oh, is the Bachelor about to come on? Yeah, I'm not doing anything." And so, like, I think
this is the first season I'm fully invested.
Wow, what an intro for you.
I know that journey for a male partner. You're watching Bachelor again?
Yeah, okay, I mean, if it's on in the background.
Exactly. Busy right now.
So what do you have to make of all this, babes?
I think, like you said, if it's taken 20 years for a black dude to be the Bachelor, it's a very telling story.
Yeah.
I think just the inherent problems in this country is just amplified through this show. Whether it's sexism, racism, everything just seems to be amplified when you give a load of women a load of alcohol and no food.
Yeah, that is crazy. Yeah, the way that they pump all the contestants full of alcohol, don't let them sleep, to get these sort of heightened reactions, and, like, the women are crying and the male contestants are all, like, ready to fight each other. It's so wild. It is truly nuts.
Yeah, it is fully a locked box experiment. Mm-hmm. That's fully what it is. And then you're also, like, you know, you're throwing them into this structure that is, as you know, you've both said, like, inherently whitewashed, inherently heteronormative, inherently, you know, centering this, like, Christian ideal, which we've touched on the show a few times. And so that's all just kind of baked in. And then you have Chris Harrison, who's just this, like, honestly, this racist white dude from Texas who has never had to reckon with shit in his life. Like, he hasn't been asked to. And I truly believe this is kind of the first time that anyone has held his feet to the fire in a real way, or that he's considered that, like, if I say something like this, maybe there'd be a consequence. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he considered that before this moment.
Yeah, no, of course not.
that response he put on his Instagram definitely felt like a copy and paste from a pre, like, pre-prepared media document.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so there were a lot of people in Bachelor Nation and around it, you know, some podcasts like Descartes and the Black Jillerettes did a lot of speaking out on this, and also, you know, a lot of Bachelor Nation people, Taylor Nolan, Ashley Spivey, all of the women from the current season, more or less, and the men from the previous season put out joint statements condemning what Chris said and standing with Rachel. And so Chris put out an apology, black box with white text, mm-hmm. I think.
It was an homage to his previous black box, which he had deleted. He was like, I know what they want.
He wrote, you know, to my Bachelor Nation family, I will always own a mistake when I make one. I'm here to extend a sincere apology. I have this incredible platform to speak about love. And yesterday I took a stance on topics about which I should have been better.
Just general topics. Nope. Yeah. Particular just topics. Topic.
Insert error.
He's like,
here.
I don't know that much about nuclear fission.
I'm also like, ideology isn't a mistake. It's a choice. It's a choice day in and day out to believe that, and then to have that those beliefs inform your actions. So it's not a mistake.
Right. Like the things he said were not like facts that he had wrong. They were opinions that were hurtful to black people.
Yeah. And that he spoke about with passion that we don't often see from him. Like, mm-hmm. this is something that Rachel Lindsay's husband, Brian Abasolo, and his podcast co-host, Mike Johnson, who is also an alum from the show, spoke about. And they were like, this is a man who is deeply media trained. Mm-hmm. This is a man who is constantly, you know, dodging questions. That's essentially what he does for a living. And for the first time, he showed up with his whole chest mm-hmm. and spoke with passion and, like, showed up as himself in this interview. And, like, that is so fucking telling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are fans of The Office, but when
Chris I've never seen it.
So here's a little preview for you. When Chris is speaking sort of off the cuff and mm-hmm. Sort of sharing his deepest thoughts on race in this interview, his vibe to me was very Michael Scott being a bad boss. Like, there was just the mannerisms were the same. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just a vibe of like, this is a guy who's speaking with unearned authority. And so it made sense that they shared a certain affect. But yeah, he like we don't usually see him let down his I'm just here to talk about a journey to love persona. He was talking like you were at like having a drink together. And he was mm-hmm. telling you what he really thought about all that wokeness.
And you're like, man, he must say so much worse in his life.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, we all kind of know that this franchise is never going to show up the way that it should and that it's not designed to be inclusive. It never was. And so, you know, they can make these efforts, even with like Rachel Lindsay and like, you know, like they will. When are we going to see like a Latinx bachelorette? When are we going to see a queer bachelorette? You know what I mean? There's all mm-hmm. these things that it's like we're never going to see that. And I think that. The show, not to be like it is what it is, but I think the show is very limited in what it's going to be able to do because the people behind it are very limited in what they want to do. Like, they don't care about inclusion. They don't care about diversity. They don't care about showing a woman who's bigger than a size 6. On the, you know, there's so many things where it's just like this show is... It is doing, like, its best. Like, that's the thing that I've learned, like, in life as someone on the cusp of 40. Just kidding, I'm 36. But what I have learned is that, like, every person or entity or whatever has, like, their maximum level of, like, what they can give. Like, as shitty and as whack as what the Bachelor franchise is able to, like, this is the best that they're ever going to do. And their best is certainly not good enough. But I think I've resigned myself to the fact that, like, yes, this thing is mostly trash. This is the best that they're going to be able to do. And I have to make peace with it or I just can't watch it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just never going to show up and do the right things.
Certainly not like out of the goodness of their heart. That's like absolutely true. I mean, we did a little digging back into Chris's history of speaking about these questions. You know, in the past decade, he's been asked multiple times, including by us, about, you know, casting a Black lead before Rachel was cast. And he would say more or less like, you know, we just need a great lead. A lot of people's jobs depend on this show doing well. And if we cast someone for a social cause reason, and the show goes out of business, like, that's not going to help anyone. So that was his party line prior to Rachel being cast, was more or less like, if we cast a lead of color, it might completely, you know, destroy the show. And like, that's not worth it. Mike Fleiss has made some comments. In 2011, he told EW, he was asked, will we ever see a bachelor or bachelorette who is not white? And I'm going to read this entire response because it's fucking crazy. At this time, they had just cast Ashley Hebert as the bachelorette. I think Ashley is 1/16th Cherokee Indian, but I cannot confirm. But that is my suspicion. We really tried, but sometimes we feel guilty of tokenism. Oh, we have to wedge African-American chicks in there. We always want to cast for ethnic diversity. It's just that for whatever reason, they don't come forward. I wish they would. Gosh, Mike, I wonder why they don't want to come hang out with you.
Yeah, I'm also just like, we got to just stop giving out fractions when it's related to Indigenous people. I'm 1/32nd. Yeah. It's like, yeah, enough. Like,
let's stop. Let's just ban that thing. Let's not. Stop.
like, there's not a white person in this country who has not been told that they're 1/16 Cherokee Indian. Like, we know that. Let's just leave that.
Yeah this was, I mean, my God, this was like, I guess, before I had started watching, so I hadn't seen this interview, and I was like, this commentary tracks.
Yeah but I think also, like, while what both Mike and Chris said are, that's disgusting and gross, and I mean, I really started watching the show with Rachel, and then I think I watched Rachel, Nick, Hannah. Yeah, I've only maybe like watched 5 of them. I started with Rachel. Before that, I was like, I'm not watching the show. But I think that, like, as ignorant as what those two guys said, I don't even want to say upsetting, because it's like, I'm not going to be bothered by those fools. But like, as disgusting as what they said to me, I'm also like, there is a subsect of Bachelor Nation who also like believes this. Like, they know who they're marketing the show towards. Mm-hmm. So like it's not just those two guys, and then everyone else in Bachelor Nation is like truly on it. It's like, there's a lot of people who watch the show who don't want a person of color as a lead. They don't want to see, like, you know, two Black people end up together. They don't want to see, you know, a Black contestant, female contestant on there who doesn't have straight hair. So like, while they are representative of like what's going on, I think like within Bachelor Nation, there also needs to be a conversation about like, this is, they're not just out here on their own making this up. Like, their opinions didn't come from nothing.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's such an important point. And I think that that's something Claire and I wrote a follow-up piece that we'll link to in the show notes, kind of about this whole thing and the push from within for greater racial equity. And something that Michaela from the Black Chillerettes said to me, which I thought was really speaking to this, is she's like, it's about who they're centering. And I think that that is spot on. And they have for years been centering this in part real, in part imagined conservative white audience, even mm-hmm. though there are large segments of their audience who are not white, who are white but want, you know, don't want what they've been giving us. But they have consistently centered and prioritized this segment of their audience. And that is what the ethos of the show has been built around. That is who they are constantly trying to cater to, which is why we have seen Matt James framed in the way that he has been. You know, it's okay, we're giving you a Black lead, so we're speaking to this side of our audience, but we want to make sure that he is seen as, you know, quote unquote, safe to this conservative white audience. Don't worry, he has a white mother. Don't worry, she's a Republican. don't worry, he's an evangelical. And I think that that has been a very intentional calculus, and again, speaks to them trying to like do this nod to quote unquote progress while actually still centering the same segment of audience that they've all always centered. And yeah, I think that that's kind of like where you need to target change if it's even capable of change.
Yeah, which I don't think it is.
Yeah.
I think it's very telling with the way that the show is formatted as well, where everything is revolved around benefiting itself and its franchise, where you have the contestants from their sister show to turn up, and you've got country artists from the label that's represented through the show. Come on. And he's plugging his book as well halfway through an episode. I think
that was wild.
Wild.
Yeah. His book that's like 5 years old. Like I was like, oh, is it really? Book? Yeah.
I thought it was a new book. I was like, all right.
No. It is not new. Wow.
But it's all focused around benefiting itself and those who are involved. And the contestants are just there to make the franchise money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is something that I know Rachel has talked about a little bit, that like even the lead is disposable to them, except insofar as they need people to enjoy watching the show. Like, they want the journey of that lead to be something that impels people to continue watching the show, but they don't need that lead to find happiness. They don't need that lead to feel like their love story was celebrated, and that Rachel very much did not feel that way about her season. Like,
well...
We know Phoebe has strong opinions. Phoebe was a Peter Krause stan.
Well, and she wasn't. If Peter would have proposed, she would have said yeah. Like Brian was the backup, so I'm like, Rachel, that's why we're not here for it, because you wanted to end up with Peter and he didn't want to propose.
Well, but this is also, you know, the thing is like, just saying. She had no control over what we saw. So like, at a certain point, you're like, at what point am I buying into what production has manipulated me into thinking?
I was
going to
say, those editors need an award. They are skilled.
Because it's
whoever's
true
writing
that
the
she
music
seems
as well.
So devastated about Peter leaving. But, you know, she and Brian are really happy. And
married. And, like,
and married. Great. And... at a certain point, I just started to be like, why did I trust what I was being shown?
Here's the last thing I'll say about this, and I love Rachel. I'm glad that she found happiness. But even on the, what's the last episode where they go back in the studio audience with everyone?
Oh, after the final rose.
Yeah, after the final rose. Like, she still was like, her and Peter were like, they were both mad at each other. And
I want to know more about.
And I was like,
happens.
If I would have been Brian, I'd be like, bitch, why are you still mad? And I proposed to you. You mad about this other guy? Anyway, she made the best choice for her life and she's thriving. Her edges are like full and like wonderful. So she's good. But I think I was team Peter.
I was at the time, too. I really want to know. But this is kind of the problem for me with the show, is that like, we know about these people only what we're shown. And so a problem that we run into with a Black lead or with contestants of color is, and you know, you mentioned, for example, having like a Latinx bachelor, and we have had leads who are Latinx.
Oh, they have?
They cast white presenting Latinx. When possible. People of color, and they don't really let them talk much about their heritage, you know.
Yeah, Claire Crawley is actually Latinx,
and she is.
Yeah,
Tayshia is also,
and so is Tayshia.
Yeah, I knew. Yeah, I knew about Tayshia, but I know Claire
Claire is. Yeah, her mother, I believe, is Mexican, and that's like a big part of her
identity.
And so is
Peter.
But they never. Yeah, and Peter's mother is also Latinx. Peter Weber, and they really didn't, I mean, especially with Claire, they basically didn't bring it up at all.
I also want to mention Juan Pablo. But it's the case that like they tend to cast when they can people who are lighter skinned, people who have a considerable adjacency to white culture, mm-hmm. And that they can downplay or erase their identity as much as possible, except insofar as it's relatable to a white audience. And we spoke to Jason Mesnick, who was the first Jewish bachelor, I believe, and he was basically like, they didn't want me to talk about it. Like, they didn't want me to have anything Jewish at our televised wedding. And so
that is, I believe, been the only Jewish bachelor ever. Andy Dorfman is the only Jewish bachelorette, and they essentially didn't speak about it. I mean, even on Juan Pablo's season, she asks him, do you know my religion? And he says no, and they never clarify that her religion is Jewish. Like,
that's wild.
Yeah.
But mention Christianity. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the other part is that, you know, if they cast someone as a villain, or if they depict an interaction going a certain way, they might be leaving a lot of important context on the cutting room floor. I think we've seen this happen before, but it's always difficult to really know, you know, if we can trust what we're being shown about a contestant like Jubilee, for example, who was really framed. She was a Black contestant on Ben Higgins' season who was framed as someone who was just a mess and like insecure and sulky. And you see hints that maybe there's more behind that, but they don't want you to see that. They want Jubilee to be someone that they can kind of make the problem. Yeah. And they're the ones in control of that. And that's one of the ways that this show is just not very friendly to. And so that's what we keep coming back to, is like, how can the show be, it's never going to be perfect. Like, this is The Bachelor. It's created by Mike Fleiss. But like, how can we try to support people of color who are on the show and who are going through this? And I think we should wrap up talking a little bit about that.
So I think, a couple things that, you know, we feel and that we've sort of seen suggested by other people who are involved in the franchise. It's like, first, of course, we want to honor that it's like totally fine for anyone who has reached their limit to stop watching. You don't owe this show shit. Protect your space, protect your peace. Also, I think, though, it's not like you're bad if you do engage with it, because I do think what we've seen is that there is some value for being a progressive voice who has an investment in the show. And although it's been baby steps, although it feels like, you know, one step forward, two steps back so much of the time, we have seen that those voices have made a difference. I mean, I think it is as sad as it is a big deal that Chris Harrison is facing any amount of consequences for this.
And to clarify, we didn't mention this. If you somehow didn't hear, Chris announced shortly after his apology that he would be stepping down as host briefly, temporarily, for an unspecified period of time. He won't be hosting after the final rose this season, but it doesn't seem from our reporting that any final decisions about his fate have been made at this point.
Yeah, right. He'll be back for The Bachelorette. It's fine. He's like at home in his vacation house, sort of like, is he annoyed? Yes. Does he have working Wi-Fi? He's fine. You know what I mean? Yeah.
He also is an executive producer. So even if they do ultimately fire him, like, the man's going to be making money off of this show.
Exactly.
So there's, look, again, consequences are limited, but it does feel like there is sort of this like foot in the door, and people are being let into the room at you know, a faster pace than we've seen before. And we're kind of like, as a collective, wrenching that door open. And I do think that it's really telling that on the last two seasons, we've had two casts that are, you know, if not a majority, a very large percentage are people of color. And that has meant that those casts have been able to band together and say things as a collective. And I think that there's been a lot of incentive in the past for contestants to stay quiet because they are under contract. They might lose out on opportunities if they put themselves too out there. It's a lot harder to, you know, silence or say, we're not going to cast anyone in this entire like micro generation of Bachelor alums on Paradise. Like, they're not going to do that. They're not going to say, we're not casting anyone from the last two seasons. So I do think that that's a difference. And we also just want to encourage, you know, specifically to our white listeners, to speak up on this stuff and use your platform, use your the space and privilege that you do have. And in doing that, like, use your own words. You know, I get the impulse to kind of just, you know, share a video made by a Black woman. You don't want to say the wrong thing. You want to amplify voices. That makes sense. But I think Taylor Nolan did a really great video kind of calling on white people within this franchise to use their own words, use their own platform, put themselves out there behind, if they're going to get behind this message, rather than just kind of saying, yeah, I'm on the right side of this. Here's, you know, a woman of color to explain it to you.
I think just like the kind of people of color they need to have on the show just needs to be different. Granted, I haven't seen most of them. Like, I thought Rachel was really smart and outspoken, but it just, even with like, and I love Tayshia, but it just seemed like when she was, what was the one-on-one date? Was his name Ivan?
Yeah. Yeah. With Ivan.
And they were having a conversation about race. It felt like she had, as like an Afro-Latina, had never had a conversation about race ever before in her life. And the same with Matt being like so uncomfortable. Like, is something, that's a specific choice to choose a person of color who is uncomfortable talking about their Blackness. Like, that to me is like, that wasn't by accident. Like, they weren't picking like a Black woman who's like, you know, confident in her Blackness, has been, you know, very outspoken about, like, it just felt like they were picking someone where it's like, this is, I'm learning too. And I'm like, you can't be just now learning about this in your 30s as a Black person. Like, you learn about this when you were like 8, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I think like, by choosing people who are not gonna quote unquote rock the boat, who are not gonna really be like bold and call out bullshit racism in a way that is rooted in facts and confidence and intelligence, I think is also a thing that the show has to change as well. Because you could mm-hmm. tiptoe around it with people who are like uncomfortable, mm-hmm. or you could have someone like a Rachel, have like a Rachel 3.0 who's really just gonna be like, this is what it is and you guys need to like get your shit together. And then I think also as Batch Nash, like, I think even if you want to speak out about the show, I'm also like, you have to look at your life. You know what I mean? So like, you can't mm-hmm. like speak out about like the racial ignorance that goes on the show, but it's like, you don't work with any people of color. You don't have any friends who are people of color. Like, your neighborhood is like all white. So it's just like, it's important to point out the things that are going on externally that are wrong, but we also have to look at internally, how am I perpetuating this narrative in my own life where it can be so whitewashed and I don't have any interaction with anyone who doesn't look like me, who hasn't come from the certain economic background as me, who doesn't have a certain level of, you know, higher learning education as me. So at the end of the day, like, yes, Mike and Chris are trash and they are doing a lot of things that are not okay. But I think Batch Nash also has to look within itself and realize, how are they also like perpetuating this or co-signing this narrative that's being perpetuated for 2 decades.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, I know. I was like, can I snap on that?
Thanks, I'm like, guys. Free.
I think as well, they need to look at their production teams as well, because if they're creating an environment that's exploitive and predatory by having all of these people in such a small house, they're loading a gun and pointing them to each other and then just creating the drama, and that's what they're thriving off. I think that's why we're seeing like a season like this season where you're getting villain after villain after villain and it being so catty and so horrible, like a toxic environment, and that's just thriving everything else.
Yeah, I think that's spot on, and I feel like that is actually a perfect segue into the into the recap. So that was very artful. Well done. Yeah.
Good job, babe. Yeah,
very well trained.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we'll have a whole lot more with Phoebe and British Bake Off. If you, like the two of us, are just always desperate to bring more coziness into your life, may we suggest Barefoot Dreams, especially now because the brand is celebrating their 30th anniversary.
With those 30 years of coziness, Barefoot Dreams celebrates being the originators of everyone's favorite luxe home blanket.
I mean, there's a reason why Barefoot Dreams has been on Oprah's favorite things list 6 times.
If there's anything I trust more than Oprah's favorite things list, it's 6 of Oprah's favorite things list. I mean, come on. Dressing head to toe in Barefoot Dreams is the key to comfort, as their collection of ultra soft robes, loungewear, and accessories are made with premium materials.
And their products make perfect gifts, too.
I'm a huge fan of just swaddling myself in a big cozy robe. So I know, Emma, I'm very excited for the Barefoot Dreams robe that is heading my way right now. I was so excited to pick it out, and I'm so excited to try it on. Like, the perfect cozy robe.
I'm so excited, too.
Oh, my God. It's going to change my life, I think.
We'll just be swaddling ourselves in coziness 100% of the time. And I think we can all agree that, like, that is the lifestyle which we deserve and to which we aspire. Thank you, Barefoot Dreams.
For Love to See It with Emma and Claire listeners, you can get 15% off your first purchase at barefootdreams.com with the code LTSI15.
Don't miss out on Barefoot Dreams' soft, soothing fabrics that will bring luxury to your life. Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. Our big console, Article. My bed frame, Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. And now back to the show. A couple telling things about this season. Like, they have this diverse cast. White contestants are still getting the majority of the screen time. And they're constantly throwing these wild twists at the contestants that obviously are going to create insane interpersonal conflict, which does not tend to play well, especially for people who are more likely to be attacked by Bachelor Nation. People are going to face racist abuse because someone didn't like what they said on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, women who are more vulnerable to that kind of bullying. So, like, it's just like a really unsupportive, unsafe environment, I think, on this season. And shocker, I know it's The Bachelor.
I think this last episode sums it up perfectly, where they're on the group date and then Rachel gets picked to go for a private concert with Aloe Black while the cameras sit and film the other four women for like 25, 30 minutes probably. They're told to sat there and like, do you need another drink? Here's another champagne.
a few more awkwardly. Tears would be good. How much more abject misery can we just capture?
We're gonna be here for hours,
tape.
So just go nuts.
Yeah, settle in, y'all.
I was gonna say, I think a big problem with this season is Matt is very boring, and he seems like a great guy, but I think someone like Claire, even though that imploded on her very horribly in a very public way, I think she approached the show with, I think she's just a more interesting person. I think she's a more vocal person, which creates this sort of, like, I felt like this season, like, oh, let's bring in this white girl, Heather, because mm-hmm. Matt really ain't doing shit. And I'm like, don't nobody care about Heather? Like, it just felt like there's so many things that are happening because it's like, oh, he can't carry the show. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the
I think you're right. So, like, Heather comes in the beginning of this episode and you're just like, why? You're just like, why? Oh, yeah, no, why? Come on. Why? Like, it added nothing. All it did was provide another opportunity for these women to be mean to each other and like feel like shit. Like, every single one of them felt like shit at the end of this.
And they were horrible to her. I was shocked at how they treated her.
I mean, well, and she had no idea what had happened in the past, but these women have already gone through more women to compete with than I think any other previous season of the show. Yeah. Five women showed up a couple weeks into this show. Mm-hmm. That did not go well. Now here's Heather. Like, these women have nothing left to give except hostility and rage.
Yeah, like, Heather showed up being just doing the most Heather-ass shit, and, like, they were not here for it, and their reaction was inappropriate. I'm like, you guys think that this is, like, yes, Heather showing up, like, before he makes his decision for hometowns is truly ignorant. But also, like, it's a TV show. Calm down. Like, just she got this dress off of ASOS. Just let her have her screen time. And, like, it'll all work out. But they just went crazy. They're like, why are you here? Bitch, go home. And I was like, this is a lot.
The disrespect of making her drive in a minivan out of there was hilarious.
Minivan came up so much. They were like, you got in a minivan for Matt? Oh, my God. Like, that's love.
You rented that from Enterprise? They made you pay for your own flights and hotel, and you rented it from Enterprise to drive 3 hours to Pennsylvania in the dress and full face of makeup. Okay, that's believable. You arrive at the security desk and you got a direct line to Chris. Okay.
I'm also like, if Heather told you about Matt, just been like, great, set me up on a date. When she was like, I'm not here for, like, the cameras. I'm like, you 1,000% are.
Yeah.
Like, right, she Heather. Like,
that's
Heather.
Not why I'm here. I'm here because she's like, I'm here because Hannah told me that I'd be great with Matt. And so I just couldn't sleep. And then people start to be like, the timeline doesn't seem to quite add up. Like, Hannah has known Matt for, like, a long time. And, like, what happened? And she started to say, oh, you know, when she first said that, I didn't really think anything of it. And then as time kept going on, and Matt
he got on TV.
Yeah, no one shows up with a t-shirt, like, with an Instagram handle on it saying, follow me. Like,
yeah, it just, her story didn't add up. And, like, the idea that she really thought she was gonna come in with, like, 2 weeks left and marry Matt at the end of it, like, it's not possible.
Just a fucking mess. And, like, look, I don't think it was her choice in terms of the timing, but girl, terrible idea. Everyone felt awful. Poor Piper was just, like, already clearly had reached, you know, the brink, and then felt completely invisible. Heather didn't address her. Like, the whole thing was
just,
like,
I thought she,
like,
made a good point, actually, when Heather was trying to make nice and everyone was attacking her, and Piper was like, look, you interrupted my time. You didn't even address me. I would like an apology from you. Uh-huh.
That was very fair. I thought that was very fair. The what are you doing here, bitch, was perhaps less necessary.
Yeah.
it was a lot. Like, the optics of it were also all very weird. You know, we have Heather is just, like, the whitest white lady ever.
Literally
just, like,
whitest.
Crying because the girls are being mean to her and they're, like, mostly brown women. I mean, and I was like,
yeah, she cried on cue though. So
yeah, she's good at crying. Yeah.
She sure
is. She's like really perfected the, like, pretty cry. Yeah. She's like, I'm not, my face isn't fully scrunched up. It's just, like, a few delicate tears, you know?
So she finally leaves to go, as Serena C suggested, cry in an interview about how mean they were. Meanwhile, Serena C is like, this is just like COVID. Heather is a virus from the outside.
I was like, Serena.
Us. Perhaps
she
should
have left. She should have left weeks ago. I was so sick of her at that point. I was like, how is she still on the show? For what?
Yeah. What's Serena C?
They went, They went from Victoria to MJ to Serena for the villains. So, like, they've got to keep one, at least until hometown.
They're really scraping the barrel. Yeah. They were like, who can we provoke to being a huge bitch? And they're like, we did it. We won. But ultimately, thank goodness, Matt, which I think you make a good point, Phoebe. Like, they were just like, Matt needs other people to enact action around him because he's such a, like, just like a flat line, largely.
He's a wet blanket.
Yeah. He's just like, you are so nice. And this is so hard for me. Yeah.
He's got three
lines. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, all I've ever wanted is honesty from you. And I love that you were honest about how you flew here on a plane and then in a minivan to tell me that Hannah approves of you. That's why it's so hard. He's like, it's too far along. We're too far in the process.
You gotta go, girl.
And he, like some of the other women, have this line that's like, oh, well, he said multiple times to us that he sees his wife in this room. And so if he ended up marrying someone who's not in this room, it would be like he cheated on all of us.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? He's already saying he's going to marry just one of you. So, like, he's leaving himself a lot of latitude there.
I always imagine, like, a poor intern behind the cameras with, like, cue cards of talking points. Just like,
this room, this one, not the other room. Yeah. She's in this room.
Yeah. Talking point of cheating held up for, like, an hour. Like,
And the women, the bar has been set so low for them that when Matt is like, look, I sent Heather home, they're just like, oh my God.
So hot.
This man is so hot.
They're like,
so
I just
hot.
Came. So
I just came. I need to marry him. He doesn't need to do anything else.
Yep.
He sent this one woman home. He's it. Yeah. He's it. We're all marrying him.
I think this has to come down to a matter of age. Not to bring up again how I'm 36, but I am 36. but I just do think that your standards in your 30s, like, I'm like watching the show, I'm like, yes, he is attractive, but there's truly nothing interesting about him. What are his qualities that they're all like, he would make a great father based on what?
Mm-hmm.
Based on what?
He's tall. Okay.
It's just like,
that's
so
all
when
you
just,
need.
They're just like, I'm falling in love with you. I'm like, you're falling in love with what? Yeah. Like, tell me. He says,
Claire and I were having that same conversation. I was like, what are they like about, what is he like about them? I don't know anything about any of these people.
Yeah. Whenever one of them says they're falling in love with him, I'm like, what? With what? With how?
Yeah.
Like, we've seen so little personality. And like, mostly, maybe this is like an evangelical thing or like an early 20s thing or both. They're basically the same thing. Is that they keep talking about his heart. They're like, your heart, everything I know about your heart. It's like, you don't need a personality. He has
a heart. You have a heart.
Yeah.
A heart. And Christ is in the heart. And family is in the heart. Yep. And that's a lot of men don't have that at all.
Maybe they like all the different cars he keeps turning up in. Because there's a lot of them.
They're literally like, how can we make Matt interesting?
Yep.
A different sports car.
The same jumper and the same shoes, but a different sports car every episode. Great.
I'm just like, even the one-on-ones, like the one-on-one with Serena P, where it was like tantric yoga, and he was like, I'm like, you didn't think that was like not gonna be a great date. Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't want to do that shit either.
Do you want to dry like, hump somebody for 20
let's
minutes?
Get in. Okay,
first we have to do the rose ceremony.
Oh yeah. My gosh, yes. Sorry.
So Matt walks out. Heather, bye bye, Heather. He and Piper get to finish their conversation. I do appreciate that he apologizes to Piper for the rudeness of what happened. And then rose ceremony time. Michelle and Piper have roses from their dates that week already, and there are 6 more roses. And they go to Bree, Rachel, Serena P, Kit, Jesenia, and Abigail. So leaving will be Chelsea and Serena C. And
which I was fine about, to be honest.
Yeah,
it
I
made
felt
sense.
Little, I felt
made
sad
sense.
About Chelsea, but it was coming. He was like stringing her along.
Yeah. Like Chelsea is someone maybe the one I most want to be friends with. But that. you know, I want better for her than Matt. So
yeah.
Like,
oh yeah, yeah. That's yeah. true. I always forget that. I think the women forget too. They're like, I want to win. Do I want better for myself than him? That's not yeah. relevant. So the date card comes. Jessenia and Abigail are the only ones who have not yet had a date, a one-on-one date. And so they're like, this is our time. Two dates this week to us. We're doing it. The first date card arrives. Serena P, can our love go deeper? Serena P is getting her second one-on-one before Abigail, the first impression rose winner, gets one at all.
That's messy.
This is bad. It's the end of the line for Abigail right here. We know it's over.
Yeah. And Jessenia, frankly. I was like, once they start giving out the second one-on-one, like anyone who hasn't gotten one is going home. And they both go home this episode. So.
Yeah. So there we go. And
tantric yoga. As you were saying.
I mean, I'm just. Oh, yeah. So basically, this is the other thing that I don't like about Matt. Yeah. And just based purely on editing. I never met him, so I don't know.
Spoiler.
But there's a little bit. Creepy isn't the right word, but he's very handsy, which I don't like. Like every time he's talking to a woman, his hands is like ready to do like, you know, fucking pap smear on the women as they're like, this is something traumatic that happened in my life. And his hands like wedged up between like the crease in her thighs. And I'm like, how about you read the room? This isn't the time for that. So for him to be like, tantric yoga, that was like amazing. I'm like, of course it is, because you just want to fuck and you're not listening to. Have you ever seen the way he looks at these women when they talk to him and he's just like licking his lips? I'm like, you just want to have sex. You're not listening to anything they're saying. It is so
There's
annoying.
A moment this episode when he gives someone a once over during a conversation that is not sexual at all. And I was like aghast. I was like, Matt, she can see you doing that. And we can see it. It's not subtle.
But
it's so true.
And I was just gonna say one more thing. Like I like that Serena P was like, actually that made me uncomfortable. Like I didn't enjoy doing that. That's just not something that I would want to do on a date.
When he sends them home, licks his lips, then looks up and down. Like
yes. I know. It's not cool. Not cool.
But I agree. Yeah. I thought that Serena P, she has like such good energy on these dates. And I'm like, oh, you are really good at dating IRL. Like Serena P has the type of energy that I wish I had when I was dating in my 20s. But instead, I definitely projected like a significantly more desperate energy of just like, I'll take what I can get. Yeah. Like me. But she's like, no. That made me uncomfortable. And Matt is like, wow, now I'm in love with you.
I will say, tantric yoga is like a classic bachelor one-on-one. And often it does go to someone that, like Matt says, is not giving them sexual energy to like see if you can like jumpstart it. And he's like, I think I'm in the friend zone with Serena P, so I'm going to make her like rub crotches with me on camera for a while. And yeah, she's not here for it at all. Matt doesn't realize it until afterwards when she's like, I was super uncomfortable. I love that she's explaining this to him while they're on a couch. He's like, I'm not overly affectionate, especially in public. And he laughs and like leans over to rub her knee.
Yeah.
And she sort of visibly flinches away. Matt, you're still not reading the signals.
Yeah, I just don't understand how he couldn't sense that she was uncomfortable. Because I'm just like, if you're really in tune with someone and you're dating them, you're going to be like, oh, you're remember like when Tayshia and Zach were having that dance lesson and Zach immediately was like, oh, Tayshia's like feeling uncomfortable. And he was like, let's just kiki real quick. And he made it so like she would feel good. And he was just like in the zone. Like, I just feel like Matt was just focused on like his half chub and didn't care, you know?
Yeah, like.
Yeah, look, Matt is a man who is tall and has been dating in New York City. Like, none of this is surprising.
In a way, I don't want to be too hard on Matt, because I think what's really going on here is that normally they get to cast from someone that's had an extended screen test.
And like, not everyone's game comes off on camera. Yeah. Not everyone is comfortable flirting on camera.
No, I feel for
And there was a deep roster. They had many opportunities to cast fan favorite Black Bachelor men who would have been fantastic at this. And instead, they like waited until they were under major pressure. They cast someone who had never been on the show, and now they have a lead that can't really carry it. And that's on The Bachelor.
Yeah. Hannah Brown recommended him, and there we go.
Yeah. That's all you
Hannah
need.
Brown making a lot of bad recommendations.
I love Hannah Brown. Okay. Listen. She's great. She cries and her mascara goes. I'm like, how much mascara did you put on your face to begin with? It's all coming off now. I'm team Hannah Brown. I will say the only thing that I did not agree with was that she didn't have sex with Tyler on her season. Because I was like, what? That would have been the first person I would have had sex with.
Missed opportunity.
Week two.
Yeah, week two, he would have gotten my first impression rose. Week two, we would have been having sex. I would have sent everyone home. Like, yeah, anyway. Yeah.
Missed opportunity by Hannah. So they head for dinner at the spa that evening. Of course, they have to have dinner everywhere. There aren't that many options.
But they never
and
eat.
Matt is...
No, they only eat off camera.
Yeah. They have their dinner, their quote-unquote dinner. And Matt is shaken that Serena didn't like the date. And that's basically their whole conversation.
Yeah,
like once he finds out she didn't like the date, that's the only thing we see them discuss for the rest of the episode, basically. And it just goes in circles. He's like, I love that you were honest with me about that. That's all I want is honesty. And that's what I'm attracted to about you is your honesty about that. And she's like, yeah, I was honest about that. That's how I feel. And he's like, that's what I love.
Is that you're right? So
yeah, again, we learned nothing other than the fact that she doesn't like tantric yoga. I just like hate that we're this far into the season. I'm like, wait, what's the thing about Serena P? What am I like? I want to be connected to these women this far in, and I'm not, and that sucks. But she does get the rose, and that.
But
means
she doesn't like him. It's so obvious she
doesn't
like him.
Which is probably what he likes about her.
Mm. Oh, God. He's never been in a relationship, right? Is that
no.
Yeah. That's why this season's a fucking mess. He, like, doesn't even know what's going on. Like, he doesn't even know what dating is. He, like, doesn't understand reading physical cues. Like, he's a mess. Yeah.
I mean, and he also clearly, he's like a 30-year-old dude who like only wants to date 23-year-olds. Like, Michelle is the oldest woman left. She's
which is crazy. Yeah, which is crazy. Yeah.
But they're the ones who are at his level of relationship experience. Like, he's like a 21 to 23-year-old is where I'm at right now. We're just figuring out what we might be interested in our first committed relationship where we're in love. And we're starting to think about what our life might be like in 5 years, but not too hard. Let's not go crazy.
I just can't wait to get to the kit conversation.
That was insane. That was insane.
Okay, sorry. Derailing.
No. Speaking of, we have the group date. Piper, Michelle, Rachel, Bree, Kit, and Abigail. Love will always find a way.
Except for Abigail.
I felt so bad for Abigail. Honestly.
I love her. I thought she did great.
I thought she was just like, look, it's clear that you're not giving me the attention I need. You're out here with all these other 6-7 women in my face. I'm good.
She should be the bachelorette. She should be the next bachelorette.
I actually agree. She's actually kind of my first choice for bachelorette. I also just like her story is really interesting. Mm-hmm. I want to understand more. I wish we gotten like more about her relationship with her father. I want more, honestly, about like there's so much interesting depth to deaf culture and the role of cochlear implants within that community. And like, I would have loved to hear her talk about that more. I think that there would be a lot of interesting ground to cover if she had her own season. But hey, The Bachelor doesn't listen to me. So
what she said in the car made me really sad, that she's always the one that people realize that they want more.
Yeah.
I know.
She's good luck, Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
Is the good luck Chuck. What's going on with Dane Cook, you guys?
Nothing good. Let's not check in on him. Group date,
I'm imagining this was some sort of scavenger hunt type in the woods date. The day date is completely cut, but apparently there are press photos of them out in the woods really? Doing some sort of date.
I wondered why the group date was just like, sit on this couch.
Yeah, I was confused by
they've done that a couple times this season. They've cut a couple full group day dates this season without explanation.
They had a lot of really important material of the women calling Heather a bitch, so they need to cut the entire activity.
Yeah.
But yeah, we again get the night date. We first kind of see Abigail pretty much like set herself up to go home. Like she's like, just tell me now. I don't think you're into me. And he's like, yes.
Yeah. So basically he's like, this is your chance to lay everything on the table because hometowns are next. Like, just tell me if you're upset with me about something or like anything lingering that we need to resolve. Bree tells him that she recently had to resign from her job. She is a communications manager so that she could stay. And that it was really hard because their mom was a single mom who had never really gotten to pursue a career like Bree's. And so the job means a lot to her. And he's like, great. That makes me feel like you're really here for me. Thank you.
I'm also like, again, that is a decision a woman in her 20s will make. The fuck, I'm giving up my 401k for a random ass dick? Are you out of your fucking mind? Bree, what the hell?
I was like, Bree, no, no. I was like, I hope she like secretly hated her job because if she actually liked her job, like, don't do it. Go back to work, man.
She better hope she becomes like an influencer selling fucking detox tea because she fucked all the way up on that choice. That is insane. Yeah, also, don't sell detox tea. That was a joke. Don't sell detox tea.
Do like FabFitFun boxes or something. Yeah. Like, my dream for her is that she gets to pursue a fun like career melding influencing and traveling and looking hot with like freelance comms work that she can then seamlessly transition back to a traditional career later.
Yes.
Like, I'm just seeing
that's
that
what
for
I
her.
Want for her.
I'm not seeing her married to Matt. We'll see. Piper says she's falling in love with him. Michelle is like, I'm 100% committed. I didn't know it was possible to feel this way. Again, I'm like, about him, but okay.
Yeah.
Again, yeah. 3 weeks in, are you sure?
Okay. She says, yeah, not that much time with him, but they had a really, they seem to have a really good date, I guess.
Yeah,
that.
They've got good chemistry.
They definitely do.
I really like Michelle. I think they have a good vibe.
And Abigail, yeah, is ready to lay it all out and be like,
good for her.
Is this what you want or not at this point? It's past time for you to show me more. And she's like, I've started picturing you in my future. When I picture my family, can you see that in your future with me? I'd rather know now. And he's like, well, I was drawn to you from the beginning, your beauty, your vulnerability you showed me. It was a no-brainer to give you the first impression, Rose. But then I was so comfortable with you that I explored other relationships.
Yeah, which was such...
And in doing that...
That's like, not how it works. That's not how dating works, Matt.
Babe, we've been together 4 years. I've just been so comfortable with you. I've decided I'm going to go date other women.
I'm moving out. Bye.
Yeah, I'm moving out.
Thank you for providing the secure base from which I could fall in love with other women.
Yeah, it's like Matt say you kept her in the back burner because there are other ladies that you wanted to hook up with. And then you're like, oh, if I get interested in her again, then I'll do a one-on-one. And he never got interested in her again.
Yeah.
If the women I truly like don't like me back, you're it.
Justice for Abigail.
I agree.
So he walks her out, and in the car she says that she's always the person who makes men realize what they want next. And that it's eating her alive that she laid out her like this vulnerable confession about seeing him in her future, and that he was just like, nah, I'm good. No thanks.
I've got five other women.
I do see it with many other women, but definitely not with you, for sure.
Yes. And so this is when he heads back in and talks to Rachel.
And they just have this, like, as you said, incredibly boring conversation in which nothing of substance is addressed. But she's like, yeah, I'm so happy. I've been searching all my life for this thing, and now I have it with you. And like, yeah, it's not going to be a big deal at all when you meet my racist family. Let's not even talk about it. I don't, it's like she's 1 second away from being like, I don't see color. They don't see color.
She's like, all they care about is that you make me happy and that I want to be with you. That's all they care about. So when I take you, you know, if in pre-COVID times, if I were taking you into the deep south, into a sundown town.
Where
is
she from?
Introduce you to my white family.
Georgia, where they used to literally ban people of color after sundown. So, definitely no deep-seated core of racism in that place that might need to be addressed.
On national TV. No. Yep.
Yeah.
And then she says, basically, like, if we don't end up together, that might be it for me at 24. She's...
graphic designer, 24, done.
Yeah, I'm like,
my options are over.
Yeah, she's gonna be a spinster at 24.
And then we get to Kit and her 5-year plan.
Okay, first of all, Kit,
it wasn't even 5. That's what I loved about it.
It's a 4-year plan.
It was a 4-year plan.
Yeah, she's like, I won't even consider having kids until I'm 25, and I'm like,
bitch, you're 21.
You're acting like you're putting your foot down because you're saying you won't have kids before 25. I'm like, it's 2021. That's most people's fucking baseline.
Look, I will not be dropping out of college for you.
She's like, 4 years from now. Imagine Matt. I'm trying to imagine Matt genuinely in the next 4 years being like, I wish I were already having kids by now. Like, that's not really his vibe.
But this is coming from a woman who an episode earlier said she only wants to have the things that make her feel happy in her life, not all like the millions of dollars worth of possessions that she has in her big mansion. And then she just goes, I just want to go, I'm not going to drop out of college. I want to go travel. It's like, all right.
I'm like, so you just want to take a gap year? I'm like, what is this, Kit?
And Matt's going to stop you traveling? Come on.
I mean, I feel like Kit, this is post Abigail leaving. I think that Kit is like, things are getting really real. I'm 21. I'm not done with school. I need to make sure that if Matt and I might work this out, that like, he knows that I'm basically still a child. So she's like, look, I have certain things that I'm not willing to compromise. I need to finish school. I need to be able to travel. I need to figure out my career. And I need a cheerleader who would help me through that and allow me to grow, which I kind of loved. It's very rarely framed in that direction.
Yeah, actually, I liked that too.
And then she's like, marriage and family is further in the distance. I wouldn't want to have kids until I'm 25.
25,
I'm a long-term way away. And Matt is just like, what? I don't even have a 5-year plan. I just want to like do fun shit that I like. He just wants to hang out with Tyler and hook up with models. Like
And I'm like, that's a great life. Don't be on the show.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like you were doing it. You were living your dreams before. Probably living in some sort of like subsidized apartment situation with Tyler in that like egregiously ugly giant building in Chinatown by the Manhattan Bridge. I've passed it. It's a real eyesore.
You just see him on his Peloton.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think that Kit was like, this might be the conversation where Matt gently dumps me. And instead,
I feel like
he's
like trying. She was like trying to get herself sent home. She's like, I had this feeling through this whole episode that I was like, Kit made a deal with her mother, Cynthia Rally, and was like, Mom, I will not drag you onto this trash show unless I have like committed to marrying this man. And she's like, what am I doing? I'm 21. Like, I'm not bringing Cynthia Rally onto The Bachelor.
There's this weird way that she's like, oh, well, he said that he would be down to be my cheerleader as I finish college. So, like, maybe it's me. Like, maybe he's, like, willing to devote his life to me because obviously that wasn't his plan. But, like,
maybe he's picking me, because she's like, I feel so confident now, I'm getting the rose. And then when she doesn't, she immediately is like, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
So she has this moment where she's like, maybe I'll just have this cool boyfriend who like builds his life around me. And then she's like, oh no, he just like didn't care enough to send me home in that moment.
Yeah. He gives the rose to Rachel, which he likes her best. She gets a private concert with Aloe Black. All the other women are just miserable and crying.
I'm like, are they just in the next room hearing Aloe Black just sing to them? Like, what?
Yeah, probably. That's the crazy thing, right?
I'm also
at space on this resort.
I'm also so like Aloe Black had to like go to this resort, quarantine for 14 days to sing a song that none of us have heard. I was like, Aloe, boo boo.
Well, now we've all heard it better. So it was worth it. All of these people, it's like, what else do they have going on? It's 2021. It's sure, I'll go to Nima Cole and Fern.
We're all at home, so it's fine. Yeah.
And this is like giving a private moment this late in the season after a group date is just such a tell, because like that's the thing you do to make sure that your front runner is happy and without like ending the show. Just being like, I'm going to give you a little something. You don't want to like have your eventual wife crying in the other room.
Right, right.
Doing it in front of everyone was just so rude, though, I thought.
Awful. He has no sense.
That's like an early season move to me. Like, that's an early season when you're still trying to get to know women and you have minimal one-on-one dates.
Yeah.
But that's what happened. So afterward, he's like chilling in his suite. Kit knocks on the door. And basically is like,
I'll be leaving?
Yeah. That was wild. I was like, oh, she over it. She packed her suitcase. She has her Uber X outside. She's like, production, production, I got it. I want to fucking leave. Yeah.
This was the most I enjoyed her the whole season. I was like, get it, Kit. Yes.
Also, can we stop pretending that those women just brought one suitcase to the Bachelor?
Yeah, certainly like, not. They each brought three. We know.
Yeah, you know there's a cart full of suitcases of their possessions, and a production assistant isn't going to be able to just wheel it out with one finger. Like, please.
I take a suitcase that size to go on like a 4-day weekend. Yes. Yeah. So, and I'm not wearing a new look every 15 minutes.
Every hour.
Yeah. The math doesn't add up.
Sorry for that tangent.
So she's like, I'm not 100% sure about an engagement, so I need to go. And he's seems to sort of make a bid for her to stay. He's like, I mean, it's hard. Once you've spent so much time with someone, you can't help but form feelings for them.
Again, intern behind the camera.
Yeah, that was so non-committal. Just like, it's tough when you like, you know, you shared an appetizer or two to be like, this is over. I'm like, this Matt, are you a person?
This is the least complimentary declaration of feelings ever. He's like, I really like you because we've spent some time together and I'm only human. Like, you get attached when you spend time with a person. Could have been someone else, but you were the one that I was spending time with. So that's how it goes. And this is when he says, I like you a lot and I want you here. And he gives her the full up and down. With his
licking
eyes.
Licking the lips and everything.
Licks his lips.
Yeah.
And I was like, Matt, she just dumped you. Like,
what do you think? Did not understand what was going on.
Take your hands like, off her thigh.
Yeah. He's like, so we're not going to have sex? And she's like, yeah, we're not.
That, look, I'm going back to college. Live your truth. I have a good life.
She has a gold Bentley.
She's a gold Bentley.
And she's like, I'm unwavering on this. It's the right thing for both of us. And he's like, all right. She gets up to leave. And he does this interesting thing where he sort of hugs her from behind and then
but leads
walks
them,
her
right?
out that way.
Yeah. He does, it's like the bouncer security guard person escorting somebody out of a club. He does that to all of them.
He's like, got her in the full bear hug from behind. Just walk that way. I feel like even Kit was like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Like, why is he still behind me right now?
She's like, I thought we established I'm leaving. Yeah. Like, I made it clear.
I just want to ensure that you do actually leave.
and she does. And now it's time for Jasenia's date. Our love will
Oh my god.
This Jasenia. Poor, sad, doomed date. Matt is just like, great. In the morning, we can make out on top of sports cars, and then I can dump you. And like,
yeah.
In like a sad situation. Prom setting.
I'm gonna slam you on top of the hood of this car. He dropped her on that thing.
He's like, this is what I've seen in movies. It's like, okay, Matt.
Also, all right. I'm glad they addressed that he wasn't driving that car because he was wearing a different outfit if he was. And B, that car spent a suspiciously long time behind those cardboard boxes as they changed drivers to pull it round again.
It was like the most obvious, like, you see someone heaving the basketball in the air and then it goes out of frame and then it drops in across the court and you're like, the timing seemed a little off there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they have a red sports car pulls out into this parking lot doing all kinds of crazy stunt driving and then it drives away and turns and Matt's driving.
Hides behind some boxes and some very slowly moves out again.
And Matt finally is like, yeah, I have to admit, that wasn't me. And Jasenia is like, oh, really? No way.
Oh, really? I could see you.
So they're having a professional drifter teach them some stunt driving moves. And then they
from
the
back seat.
The
I didn't.
Car.
Yeah.
We can just.
Yeah. Gloss past out. That whole section.
Yeah. And then they head to the night date, which he makes Jasenia kind of ooh and ah over it. But it's really just like a bunch of white twinkle lights and fake trees with twinkle lights. And it looks very prom-y. They're doing their best. It's a long time to be stuck in Nina Colin.
I was very disappointed.
These production assistants are putting their time in. They are like running to the dollar store every day.
I was kind of disappointed we didn't get like a staring out the window shot this week.
Oh, he's so good at that. He's really good at that.
Yeah.
He's like, look dead behind the eyes. That I can deliver on. I'm sorry, Matt. I'm sure you're a lovely person.
Sure he's great. Yeah.
Do you want to try that one again? Oh.
Guys, I'm sure Matt is wonderful. Was that good?
Yeah, that was very convincing. So they sit down and have another one of these circular conversations that Matt has, but the topic this time is Jasenia has been so patient and she is feeling more and more for Matt and being patient waiting for this date, and it's finally here, and finally she says that she's falling in love with him,
which
and
is
Matt
bullshit
says, Matt says, thank you for sharing that. So I'm glad that she probably
it's
didn't.
Always a bad sign. You know, it's a rough response.
Yeah, just like about
very
that.
Rough.
That's like the worst possible response that you could give on this show. Like, it's not even like, you know, I love hearing that because like you mean so much to me too. It's like, thank you for your
thank you for your feedback. Like, you're not good.
A suggestion card.
At least like a Nick Viall season, he would be like, I appreciate that, which is like, I think one level above just a thank you. Thank you is it's like, what?
And also, Nick was decisive. He didn't, drag things out. Nick was like, well, actually, that made me realize I'm not into you. So, you're going home. And he did this was, consistent.
Yeah. That's the thing about Nick. I have to say, he loved eliciting the declaration of love and then being like, end with that, goodbye.
Yeah. And
Matt just seems a little bit more just like, she's saying, I love you now. I don't know what's happening. Thanks, I guess.
didn't really have a game plan for that to happen. But finally, he picks up the rose and he's like, I love how bold you are and how you've been someone I can confide in. But there needs to be an intangible love that's driving us toward engagement. And I'm not there yet. And so I can't give you the rose.
I'm like, listen, don't fucking pick up that goddamn rose. If you're,
they love to do that.
British Bake Off. What if my boyfriend like got down on one knee to be like, listen, I appreciate your passion and what you've given to me these past 4 years, but I'm not going to propose. He pulls out the ring. You're not going to get not this gonna ring get that this. I'm holding in my hand right now.
The very first fact, bachelor I think we should go literally our separate did ways. That.
The first bachelor did that? What?
He pulled out the ring and was like, I won't be giving this to you. She was the final woman.
He's like, I have a ring. Yeah. I picked a ring, but I'm not going to give it to you.
That is insane. Oh my God.
And then Juan Pablo did the same thing.
Yeah. Wow. They love this move.
Well, you got to get cruelty. The ad dollars, haven't you, from the ring company?
Well, exactly. They're like Zales provided sparkling
this guy
diamond.
That keeps coming on the season to promote all of his new rings.
I love Neil Lane.
Yeah, Neil Lane is like Lane. Every halo must be shown.
Price.
The Bachelorette can't do that, and that's sexism right there. Like you can never have a Bachelorette being like, I got a shiny thing for you, but I'm not going to give it to you. Not right now. You haven't earned it yet. Like, it's just so
give it 3 weeks. I'll let you know in the media afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
But they do make them pick up the rose whenever they give the speech, even if they're sending them home. And it's like, it's one of the dark sides of the Bachelor. Yeah.
So goodbye, Jesenia. And we cut basically right into a rose ceremony.
They have a pretty friendly goodbye. Like she I think on some level knew that it was coming. I mean when you have to repeatedly be like, I have been very patient waiting for this date, like that's you know that things aren't happening. But we go right into the rose ceremony, and we're gonna be in hometowns next week, so two roses were given out previously and now two at the rose ceremony, and they go to Brie and Michelle, and that means Piper is going home, and Piper is the one who is
this is rough.
She basically leaps into the car to avoid a conversation.
I felt bad for her because I feel like, yes, she's young, but I think she did go on this show being like, why not? I'm young, I'm cute, like this will be fun. And then like she did have so good.
It wasn't
like,
fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think she was really disappointed that it was like she got dumped by this guy and then like didn't have fun because there was all this bullshit drama in the house. And it was like, well, what to her did feel like a waste of time. And I get that. It's like, why did I show up? Why did I pack my Spanx? Like, you know what I mean? Like she did a lot for it to be kind of worthless, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right. And to get her time like interrupted repeatedly and to be made to feel like shit repeatedly and then to like finally have this breakthrough and yet again, then just go home right when it felt like, okay, maybe I'm going to have a moment of peace. And I really did feel for her.
I think going back to earlier on as well, I think we're going to be fine without Chris because we don't need him coming in telling us it's the last rose when there's only two fucking roses on the table.
Do you mean we can count? Are you saying that you can count?
I am saying I can count past one.
Wow.
Yeah, I can count to two.
Can I replace Chris? I would love to replace Chris. Oh my God.
I would love.
I would be so ignorant. I would interrupt the dates and be like, just so both you guys know, you're not into each other, so you can pack your bags. You can go back to the group date. I'm out.
Head to toe in your own merch as well.
Yeah.
I would much rather see a date built around your books than Chris's. Let me just
yes. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I think my final prediction is he's going to choose Rachel, which is probably why Chris was like going to the mat for her, because he was 100%. Truly protecting the franchise. And then he was like, oh, shit, I actually let my real feelings known. My bad. I think Serena P is going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm not into this. And I think she's going to just like she's going to send herself home after the hometowns.
Mm. Oh, I can so see that.
I think she's going to do that.
We do get a preview of it looks like her sister saying, like, you don't seem smitten. And she doesn't. Yeah. She seems, like, physically uncomfortable around Matt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, she seems to, like, sort of enjoy their little bantery power dynamic. But, like, she's not in it for a long run. It feels like Michelle is genuinely super into Matt. And I guess Bree, too. I don't know. We haven't, like, seen that much of Bree and Matt. Besides her saying she quit her job. So I guess she is serious about it, but
I've just seen Serena P's job title and I think it explains it well. She's a publicist.
So is Brie. Whole bunch of publicists this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, overall, I think this season, not that I was even expecting that much, but I think it has been a disappointment because with the Rachel Lindsay season, it really did feel like she, in all fairness, I don't know what the other bachelorettes were like. So she was the first bachelorette I ever saw, but it felt like Rachel brought like a different energy to the franchise and like shook it up in like a legitimate way. And I feel like Matt was just sort of kind of like you said, inexperienced because he had never been on the show before. Probably like partially informed by the fact that he's never dated before. So he probably felt uncomfortable. So it just was just a lot of things that made it kind of like not as fun and as exciting as it could have been.
I mean, look, he really follows in the grand tradition of them being very willing to cast male leads who are not necessarily equipped to carry the show. They're much less likely to do that with the women.
Why is that?
I think maybe partly because The Bachelor is the flagship show and it just gets much higher ratings. And that's a little bit also, more like, reliable for them. And I
think they like lean on the contestants, the women contestants, to bring all of the kind of plot to it. Rather than the lead.
They're like, people want to watch women being emotional. They don't want to watch, so they can have the lead on The Bachelorette or they can have the contestants on The Bachelor. And I do think Rachel stood out. I think Rachel was a deviation for them in the sense that she is very much part of Black culture and like she's from a Black family and her dating history when she went on the show was mostly Black men. And she was very clear about that. She was like, I'm bringing that part of myself to the show. And I think they do tend to cast Black contestants and leads, in the case of Matt and Tayshia, who have grown up maybe around more white culture and who are used to being like the Black person in a place like The Bachelor, a very white place. And Matt is not really rocking the boat. And, you know, it sucks to put that on him, to be honest. It really isn't fair. But it's also on The Bachelor to not expect their leads, their more diverse leads to do that. But I think on that note, we should wrap up. We've covered so much ground today.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
This was so fun.
Oh my God. This was so fun. This like made my week. I'm in like a very good mood now, which is unusual after talking about this show for 90 minutes.
Yeah, we have to do this again soon. That was so much
fun.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. If I was a dating Bake Off, I probably would try to be a bachelorette just because I love that Claire blew up the show. She was like, I just like this one guy. I don't want to talk to the rest of these dudes. And I was like, that's great.
This is why I will always stand for Claire. I kind of love her. Same. She doesn't give a shit. I love it. That's why they're like, no, we can't cast like women in their mid to late 30s. We can only cast like insecure 24-year-olds. So.
That's very true. Yeah.
So we're skipping Feminism Fails this week we just spent a lot of time on racism and Bachelor Nation at the top, and that's really the conversation that we want to focus on right now. So keep an ear out for Feminism Fails in the future. Next week, we'll be back.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guests, Phoebe Robinson and British Bake Off, and our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod, and you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
We'll be back next week to recap the hometown episode of Matt James's season of The Bachelor.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.